Great weekend. Could you turn with me in your Bibles, if you have them with you, or go on the Bible app to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And while you're paging there, I think it will be great for us to kind of understand the context in which this chapter was written. And so here it is in a nutshell, and you can skim read or page read. As we go along, many scholars believe that Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthian church because he had received some ministry reports from the local guys on the ground at the Corinthian church. And from that report, he was answering a few questions, but also addressing a few issues within the church. So in chapters 1 to 6, Paul addresses all the problems: jealousy, divisiveness, sexual immorality, and church discipline. Then from chapter 7 to 16, you would note he answers very specific questions right throughout those chapters. Then in chapter 9, he answers quite a few in one chapter, but he starts off by defending his authority as apostle of Christ, and he also just answers a question about his pay, his remuneration as a preacher of the gospel. Those are found in verses 1 through to 18 of chapter 9. Then verses 19 to 23, he defends his ministry model, the way he does ministry. He defends it and defends it quite passionately. But verse 22 should have quite special meaning for us at Durban North Baptist Church, because our entire ATAP Center and all that we do there, everything is built on this verse, verse 22. I have become all things to all people, that by all possible means I might save some. This was Paul's ministry model, and he passionately defended it because I think he fully understood and possibly even founded the phrase that when in Rome, you do as Romans do. I believe that's because Paul knew that you and I have got to earn the right to speak into someone's life. Now, to bring that home for us, if you want to share the gospel with a group of golfers and you rock up on the tee box with a pair of slops, board shorts, and a t-shirt, and maybe even your surfboard, you won't just be laughed at, but you will probably be chased off the course. The same goes for you getting your high heels, you're dressed quite nicely, you rock up at the ice rink wanting to play ice hockey. The guys might invite you on just to have a good old laugh, but you will probably be asked to leave. The same applies when we're trying to share the gospel with somebody. We've got to earn the right to speak into their lives. So if you want to share the gospel with a bunch of golfers, well, go read up on what a handicap really is and maybe figure that out, and then dress appropriately and then go and chat with a group of golfers and ice hockey players and so forth. Paul understood this, and so he explained this to the Corinthian church, that if they wanted to share the gospel with anyone else, they had to adapt their cultural norms and customs to fit their target market. So they had to just adjust a little and understand that their Corinthian culture and customs might not work in Greece. So they would have to become all things to all people without sinning. That's crucial, without sinning. They could change things and adapt to the Greek culture and the Roman culture without sinning. And we believe this is Durban North Baptist Church. To that extent, where we would open up a center where we could become all things to all people and present the good news of Jesus Christ to anyone by all means, that we might save some without sinning. And we still believe this to this day, where God will call us to go and do that at the ATAP Center, either through the homework center, helping somebody do their homework or study, pouring somebody a cup of coffee at the coffee corner, and now very recently playing pool or indoor soccer at the Chillax Youth Center, and even doing a fitness class, music or art lessons, by all means that we might save some. But friends, it doesn't stop there. This isn't just the responsibility and call of God for those who work at the ATAP Center. No, friends, it's the call of God for every person in this room, for every Christian. should become all things to all people without sinning, that by all means we might save some. We are all called to become gospel-sharing golfers, ice hockey players, not me, surfers, maybe, knitters, you don't want me to knit, accountants, okay, doctors, I'm not quite sure, teachers, yes, but we are all called by the way God has gifted you and equipped you to share the gospel in your industry, in your social context, in your family, in a way that people would understand and that you can relate to. Yes, sometimes you're going to be stretched out of your culture and your comfort zone, but we all need to be able and willing to share the gospel, and so that by all means we might save some. But just like Paul did, just like the Corinthian church did, sometimes life gets hard. Sometimes we just don't feel like doing it anymore. And I think that's why he writes this to the Corinthian church, a bit of encouragement, a bit of refocus. Because when life gets tough, often we lose the why we are doing things. We lose the why. So this morning, let's tackle that together out of this text. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to read from verse 24 and onwards. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Now, Paul used this imagery of running a race because he knew that the Corinthian people would completely understand the context because of the Ishmael games that were held annually quite close to Corinth. Paul knew that they would understand what the requirements would be in order to enter these games and what training you would have to go through to enter the games. Now, for us today, the Ishmael games mean absolutely nothing, but the Olympic games do. Any of you ever try to qualify for the Olympics? Okay, well, I was hoping just one little hand go, I tried. But I think we know that the requirements to enter the Olympic Games, that's quite strict training. You've got to finish in a certain time frame so that when you're running against Usain Bolt, you're not on the next screen, but you're still on TV, you know? Yeah. But we understand the requirements. It is strict training. And for those entering the Olympic Games, every single person who trains for it, they don't train to get a bronze. They train to get the golden medal. They train to win. So the question for us today, out of this context, do you understand what it takes to win the prize? Because we're all running a race. Our race is just called the race of life. And for some of us, you're at different stages in that race. Some of us, you're sprinting at the moment. Life is hectic. Your to-do list just keeps getting longer. And, you know, you've got to get the kids to school. I'm so worried about that. You've got to feed the kids. You've got to get them on the medical aid. It's just, that list just keeps going. And you're sprinting. You're tired. You know, you're eating fast food because you're making dinner very quickly. And, you know, yeah, okay, all right. Some of us, you're sprinting. Now, some of us, You've hit that uphill, you've hit that incline, and you are working so hard, your legs are burning. Now, if you go to a spinning class with Clive, you know what I'm talking about. That guy climbs for hours. You're like, dude, can you stop climbing? He just, let's climb, and your legs burn, and then he wants you to isolate, and your legs burn. In Clive's classes, it's hard work, you know, but for some of us, in life right now, it's hard work. You're climbing up that hill. You're just trying to get some good nutrients because you know that if you don't eat something really good right now, you're going to collapse somewhere up this hill, and you're going. The pressure at work is immense, and you're working really hard. For some of us, you've hit the plateau. You're right at the top of the hill, and life's good. There are no hills. It's just a nice flat. You can just spin it out. You can get those those blood pumping to the legs again, and you can get the feeling back, and life's just good. The kids are doing well at school. Your retirement fund's looking great. The economy's stabilized. Life is good. Now, for others, you might be on that downward spiral again, on that decline where life just gets busy again, but things are just going really haywire now. Where in the beginning, when you were sprinting, it was kind of in control. You knew how to cook dinner, but now you're on the downward spiral. You're just like, dinner? What's dinner? Okay, let's just chuck something together. But all of a sudden, things get even worse. Someone becomes ill, and you find yourself next to a bedside praying, and you're just screaming, God, can things just slow down? I can't do this. My legs won't carry me. I'm going to fall flat on my face and hit the valley flat on my face, bleeding all over the place. I need your help right now, Lord. Wherever you are in running life's race, the question we've got to ask ourselves this morning is, where are you heading? Where are you heading? Because if you're heading towards heaven, you will get back up again when you fall flat down on your face. If you're heading towards heaven, you're going to run a bit faster to get out of the sprint zone. If you're heading towards heaven, you want to get onto that plateau just so that you can breathe a little again. But a very dangerous place for so many of us running life's race towards heaven is on that plateau where life is just good. Where we don't have to worry about taking another step or just slowing down a little or just making sure that we're still keeping our feet together. Often when we're running life's race and we're heading towards heaven and we hit the plateau, that's the most dangerous place to be. Because we often, when we hit the plateau, forget why we're doing things. Why we need to keep training. Why we need to keep reading our Bible. Keep feeding ourselves properly. Because either there's another hill coming or the downhill's coming. And you've got to get through that valley and back up again. So we've got to ask ourselves two questions. Where are we going? Are we trying, like these Corinthian people, to get into the Ishmael games? Are we trying to get into heaven? Is that our finish line? Or are we just running aimlessly with no purpose at the end? So Paul describes this prize for us. Jesus describes the prize for us as paradise, the kingdom of heaven. And John in the book of Revelation even gives this description a bit of flesh as well. If you're taking notes, it's Revelation 21, verse 3 and onwards. Reads as follows, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" Listen to this awesome prize at the end of this life. "He will wipe away every tear from your eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain." No more uphills. No more sudden downhills. No more pain. No more crying. "For the older things have passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without a cost from the spring of the water of life." And now this should be our goal, friends. Verse 7 should be our goal. "Those who are victorious will inherit all of this. And I will be their God, and they will be my children." Doesn't that sound amazing? Doesn't every trial and temptation and every difficulty that you face in this life, doesn't this make it all worth it? That at the end, there will be no more pain, no more mourning. At the end, we will be with God, and He will be with us, and He will make all things new. This prize is available to everyone running. Everyone running. So you're alive, that means you're running. Which race are you running today? Is it the heavenly race or is it the aimless race? Where are you going? Maybe if this whole thing is still not making any sense to you, I've got a story of a friend of mine. Now, we were only 10 years old, and I don't know if it's still the case today, but it was quite a thing that when you're 10 years old, it's the first time you're allowed to run the 1,500-meter track race at school. And so, as bullies as we generally were, we invited this friend to join us and run this race. Now, he had never trained for it, but he just wanted to be part of the post-race celebration. So he joins in with quite a few others who also didn't train for this. So we're all standing at the beginning of the race, and the gun goes off, and like most people do at the beginning of the race, you sprint. You just want to get going. But as he gets past the first 100 meters, he realizes that, hey, there's another 1,400 to go. And I haven't trained for this. But he keeps going because he's got the finish line in mind. I'm going to finish this. I'm going to get to the finish line. It doesn't go that well for him because the guy leading the race laps him before he finishes the first lap. The leader laps him, but he keeps going. Some of the friends that chirped him to join the race, they've dropped out already. They're like, hey, 1,400 meters, that's far. I'm done. But he keeps going. And he keeps going, and by the time he gets past that second lap, the winner's just finished behind him. And now we're watching this, Oak. Like, you've got another 1.5 laps to go, buddy. Like, but he keeps going. And now, all of a sudden, with 100 meters to go, the crowd starts turning. The guy who won the race joins him and slowly just runs next to him. The crowd are up on their feet. And they're giving this guy the cheer of notes all the way to the finish line. And this poor Oak, he's got 50 meters to go, but you could just see this Oak is going to, very soon. Like, he's just not going to make it. But the crowd keep cheering him on. And now all the friends that even dissed him and chirped him, they're like running alongside him. They're like, come on, you can do this. You can do this. And as he looks up, he's got another 50 meters to go. His dad is standing there, kind of waiting for him, very eagerly waiting for him. And he's like, okay, let's do this. And you can just see it. He like kicks in another gear and he pulls himself together and he really grinds the last 50 meters and he crosses the line. And the crowd goes wild and his dad just grabs him. Just grabs him and his dad just shouts, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. And friends, that image has stuck with me for years. Because I'm pretty sure that like halfway through the second lap, his legs were burning. He felt like giving up. This was too hard for him. But he kept the finish line in sight and in mind. And he kept going. And then the church that day got involved in that last 100 meters. Oh, I hope that we can get involved in people's lives a lot earlier than that and not just run the last 100 meters with them, cheering them on. I hope we can cheer them on from the moment they start joining the heavenly race to the last day. Because often we need that. Just like that boy needed somebody to come alongside him, the winner of the race, to go, hey, come on, you can do this. I know your legs are burning. I felt that like 14 minutes ago. But come on. You can do this. You can cross that line. And I really hope that for us today, that we will keep running the heavenly race. If you haven't joined the heavenly race, may today be that day because it will be the best race of your life. Because when you're climbing the uphill, those really tough times, you've got friends going, hey, come along. We've got this. We've been here. Hey, you'll get over that hill. It's okay. When you get to the plateau, your friends go, hey, let's not coast around here. Let's keep growing because you're either going to hit another hill or a downhill that's coming. Where if we run this race aimlessly, with no purpose, very seldom do we have people coming alongside us, encouraging us through life's difficult times. So the heavenly race, the Christian race, has great benefits on earth. But the greatest benefit of all is after our race has finished, where we can totally live in that description from Revelation 21 earlier, where there's no more mourning, no more pain, no more suffering, no more uphills or downhills. We're just spending time with our God, and He is spending time with us. And it's a fantastic place to be. So this morning, are you part of the heavenly race? Are you running, or are you standing on that plateau? Are you climbing a hill? Are you on the downward trend? Where are you? And maybe this morning you just need to hear these words. I will never leave you nor forsake you, declares the Lord. I will be with you every step of the way, regardless of where you're at. I'm with you. I'm the guy at the finish line. I'm the dad waiting for you with open arms, ready to grab you and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been victorious in this race. Welcome to the prize. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, for some of us here this morning, we have run the race of life aimlessly. And we really ask that you would guide us this morning to join the heavenly race, to cross that line and say, yes, I want to be part of this Christian race towards heaven because I want the heavenly prize. And we just want to thank you this morning, Jesus Christ, that you've made it possible for us to join the heavenly race. And so if that's you this morning, I just want to encourage you to do it in the quietness of your own heart and just say, Jesus, I want to run your race. I want to be part of your heavenly race. Please accept me onto your team today. And then for us who've been running this race, this Christian race for quite a while, you know where you are at this morning in terms of your race. Whether you are hitting that incline and you're working really hard and you're struggling with life right now. This morning, hear the words of the Lord. I am with you. I am with you and I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll help you get to the top of this hill where you and I can just gather ourselves again. Gather our thoughts. Recharge again for whatever lies ahead. Maybe this morning you are on that plateau. You haven't fed yourself spiritually in a long, long time, and your race has no real purpose at the moment. This morning, remember the prize. Train, equip yourself to carry on running towards heaven so that you can cross the finish line and hear the words of Jesus Christ. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Welcome to the heavenly prize. And so that is our prayer this morning, that you will keep running towards heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.